Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
That's it. DeAndre ain't doing nothing, and neither really is Peyton Watson. He's hit a couple of shots. He had 7 last night. He was minus 5, though, in the time that he was out there.
Yeah.
They play 6 dudes. They're not deep enough. Was it Batum?
Yeah, Batum. Mm-hmm. He's awesome.
He was doing all the little things. Like they did, the depth should – the Clippers should finish this off. They need to, and yeah. I'd be – if they don't, boy, if I'm Ballmer, I'm going nuts.
Yeah, agreed. All right, so Brad likes Denver minus 1.5 there, and then game one.
Yes.
On Sunday, the third game in our series today, Indiana on the road at Cleveland. Cleveland minus 7.5 in game one at home.
All right, so if I could give a plug for the station, too, all of these games are going to be on 92.9. Tonight's game, which is the Rockets game, is going to be on. We're going to have the Clippers game Saturday night. And then programming note, if there's a game 7, we're going to carry the Warriors game. If there's not, we're going to carry the Pacers game. This is the kind of crap I have to deal with.
Right.
It's a flex schedule for the NBA, so follow with me here.
Thank you very much.
For TNT, though, this is going to be on television at either 6 o'clock or 8 o'clock, depending on tonight's outcome. Pacers and Cavaliers. And I tell you what, the Pacers they've showed me something. However, the Cavs have shown me more things than what the Pacers have shown me and Tyrese Haliburton. So I am going to be very firm with a couple of teams in the East, one of them being the Boston Celtics, the other one being this Cavaliers team. Give me the Cavaliers minus 7.5. It's a lot of points. I'm going to take them.
So all the favorites today?
All the favorites.
Okay.
Yeah, all faves.
So I don't know. I mean, the Pacers are
tough right now.
They're not afraid.
No.
They're not scared, and their offense is really good.
Dad ain't going to see the games, though, unfortunately. He's going to have to sit out, but Haliburton will still be on the court.
That's right. Yeah. Again, I'm not surprised by that. I'm not surprised that anybody would want to bet the Cavs, given how they dispose of the Heat. My word of caution would be that the Pacers are not the zombie Heat. They are a much different team, and they are a deep team. They are a 10-man team, right? And honestly, I don't know who their best player. I guess it would be Siakam, probably, like who I really truly think is their best player. I know Haliburton gets the love, but I think Siakam is probably better. But it could be Siakam, it could be Haliburton, it could be Turner, yeah. It could be Nembhard. You know, they got shooters all up. And McConnell comes off the bench and is a problem.
Yeah,
McConnell versus Ty Jerome is going to be fun. That's because those are both their first guys off the bench and.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I'm excited about that series, man. I think it's going to be a lot closer than people expect. Could be wrong, but I think Carlisle's done an amazing job in and of his own right and probably doesn't get the respect that he deserves for that job because they don't have who is their superstar? They don't really have one.
Well, we'll see if Tyrese is that.
That's
what this is to me is you're going up against Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell, guys who are all-stars. Yes, you've been one, but you also just got most overrated. We saw how you responded in that series. Let's see what you do. Like you said, against a team that's not the Walking Dead.
Yep.
You know, where Dame's not on his last leg here. Let's see if you're ready to take the true step up. Beating Milwaukee was one thing. Yeah, that team had Giannis, but little else. Let's see if you're truly ready for the step up and to be in the upper echelon.
Yep.
Like you believe you are.
Mobley's healthy, right? Everybody's healthy for the Cavs.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And Garland, they were able to save. It seemed like they didn't have to play him. So I think he's ready to go.
And the Cavs got a good roster.
Yeah. No, they do. They do.
They went out and bolstered it with Hunter at the deadline. But, they got even stronger.
But we would not have said that, to Jahandre's point, last year at this time.
That's
when
fair.
They were getting packed up in five by the Celtics. Like, this roster stinks. They can't win with Donovan Mitchell, you know, as your best player. Like, so a year can change a year can change a lot in the NBA. But there you have it. If you're fading Brad, you will take the Rockets plus 5.5 tonight, the Clippers plus 1.5 tomorrow, and the Indiana Pacers plus 7.5 on Sunday. So hope the dogs are barking. 16-15. Brad's coming in here on Monday, a winner or a loser. He's either going 3-0, 2-1, 1-2, or 0-3.
Yes.
So he
saw the scenarios.
He will lose. He will be a winner or a loser come Monday. So looking forward to that. All right, we'll come back. Lots more to come. Parthu Pajai is going to join us at 125, and we'll talk to him about the PJ Haggerty news, his expectations for the roster. Elijah Gray, a lot more to come. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN. Mark your calendars for Smoke Slam, May 15th through the 17th, down at Tom Lee Park on the river in Memphis. It's coming, and it's going to be a blast. More than just a barbecue competition, it's something for the whole family. It's inclusive for the whole family. Come down, taste some of that delicious barbecue with the food samples. Get on the Ferris wheel. Fireworks every night. You will absolutely love it. Smoke Slam coming to Memphis.
Yep, you can get tips from a 7-time World Barbecue Champion, Melissa Cookston, going to be there. Book signings, unique meet and greet opportunities as well. So you can improve your barbecue by talking to a real pro. In addition to, again, you don't have to just be have a spot in the tent to eat down here. Everybody's going to eat good. It's a family affair. John's mentioned the big old Ferris wheel and the fireworks. The kiddies are going to love that. You're going to love the music. They've got a great lineup. Shane Smith and the Saints, the Revivalists, Country Music Giants, Big and Rich, Waylon Wyatt, Mark Edgar Stewart, Jombie, Southern Avenue, and a bunch more. Three-day passes and single-day tickets are on sale right now. All you got to do is go to smokeslam.com. Again, smokeslam.com. They've also got VIP experiences available as well. Get your tickets now for Smoke Slam 2025, May 15th through 17th at Tom Lee Park on the river.
LeBron James suffered a sprain of his MCL in Game 5.
Of course.
That news has just hit the wire, folks. As you guys can all remember, he was shot in the middle of the game.
Yeah, who was that contact with? I can't remember.
DiVincenzo.
That's right.
And the bullet struck his MCL, and he is going to be out for 3 to 5 weeks.
I saw
people saying, I'm not making this political. They said that man went down harder than Trump after Trump got shot.
I mean, he went down in the heat.
He
was
did.
Pretty good.
It's a big man.
That's the Trump thing.
I'm just saying, people said Trump didn't go down as hard as LeBron
did. I mean,
he
had that hand up.
He did.
LeBron was folded up.
LeBron did not come back.
Trump had the power fist up.
LeBron didn't put the power fist up when he came back in.
He was
folded
up.
I'm just glad that, like, I've made this point before, but I'm just glad that somebody finally acknowledged that somebody was willing to go be brave and say that NBA players fake injuries to get standing ovations.
They also, you saw it, they found the Jordan crying face in his bald patch in Game 5. They discovered it. You see it? They discovered it.
Wow. That is insane.
I thought the best meme was the Brunson one where there's a dog inside of him when you do an X-ray. Into
it's always a good one.
That's my favorite.
Apply it correctly.
Yeah. Yes. Good application there.
No. Mm-hmm. I remember doing that for Kendrick Davis, I think, at one point.
That's a good one. Yeah.
That dog in him.
Except with his hands. He got a hole on that ball on the floor.
Only at the end of his career.
That was the first time.
That was his
first
turnover
ever. Brad, he had zero turnovers the
whole
season.
Hold on to the damn ball, Kendrick. Let's go win a game.
That's all he remembers about KD was the last turnover.
I will never forget the damn. It's like many things.
I mean, it did. We could have had a Sweet 16.
That is not what I remember.
But we got the ball back.
I remember, get the ball.
Remember, we didn't get the stop at the end. We had actually gotten in position to win the game.
Look, if you
career ended on a turnover.
You choose to whatever your lasting image of a player is, you choose that, right?
I know, that's on me.
Like my lasting image of KD is when he was overcome with emotion when the Memphis Tigers won the AAC tournament. He had it against Houston. And of course he's from Houston, right. So he was over, that's what I remember.
Yeah, that's
a good one.
But what
very
I remember
good.
About Elijah McCadden is that he bit on a three up one. Mm. He bit on the three pump fake up one.
Penny was telling him, you know, you don't give up the basket, don't give up the
right.
drive.
Which, like,
because we didn't have a rim protector. Remember, it was Lawson that jumped at him.
Yeah, yeah, no, yeah. I mean, it's like, dude, I understand that you're taught to, like, contest shots, but if he wants to take a three down one, you let him
do it.
Right. Like,
we're not giving up the drive. That's what he told him.
And
he fell for the fake.
He did. And we've never heard from
it
Elijah.
It wasn't like a great fake either.
No, it was. I mean, I don't even remember what that guy shot from three. I think it was Boyd, right? Was it Nick Boyd that hit the game winner?
The layup?
Yeah.
It would have had, I mean, I don't know on name. I just remember he was light-skinned.
I think it was. It was Nick Boyd who hit it.
Yep.
And, you know,
I remember Lawson's hand. The older Lawson. Yeah. This was Chandler, I believe, that was in the game.
And I mean, he was a 40% shooter from three.
Well, yeah, but Penny had just told him, and he said that after the game.
Right, right. It's like,
because back then he was throwing them all up under the. You remember Penny didn't.
Yeah. No. Like it wasn't the Brunson shot last night, right? Where he had 50 feet of space because he sent the defender to New Jersey.
Y'all giving Thompson too hard a time, man.
Bro, there's a frame where he's not even
in it.
Oh, it was a skid beyond return.
Just look at Brunson's offhand, though. They could have called offensive foul on that. He holds dude on the long and makes him think he's going to go around. It was a setup.
No, I mean,
and Thompson had stopped him five straight.
He had. I mean, Thompson played.
He did as good a job as you can do on that. On Mr. Clutch.
No, he did.
He did. You're right. He got dropped, but it's not like he's a bad defender. That's emblematic of some bad.
No,
that dude's a good defender. He's just going to get up against Mr. Clutch for the sixth straight time, and you're going to lose some of them.
Yeah.
And it did. It looked bad, but the way he created the space by holding on.
That is a vet
with
move,
the off
the
arm.
We've seen it with Jordan.
He makes Thompson think he's going to drive, and man, Thompson slides, and that crossover did.
That dude dispatched
him. Gave him enough time to dribble into the shot.
Yeah. I mean, I'm watching this FAU game winner, and I got to say, FAU just played it perfectly because it's what happened really was Elijah McCadden bit on the fake.
Yes.
And then Golden sealed DeAndre beyond belief. And then.
Am I right that Lawson's the only guy that's trying to protect
Chandler,
the rim?
Chandler had a look. I mean, it was really.
But he's not a rim protector, is what I'm saying.
No,
that's not his bag. And the fact that it's not DeAndre, that's good for FAU. Obviously, it was.
Yes. Yes, exactly right.
Now, I remember Lawson's hand. That's the one thing. You were talking about lasting images. I remember his hand because we saw it in slow-mo so much.
I mean, because he was trying to
block it.
Chandler was on.
I didn't know. The DeAndre thing's a good detail because I was wondering why it was Lawson's hand that I saw.
Because DeAndre, I didn't even pay attention to this. He actually plays the inbound and goes out of bounds trying to swat it out.
Why?
And just take off time off the clock, I guess.
Oh.
And then by the time he comes back into the play.
He's out of it.
He's Golden has completely like blocked
sealed
him off. Yeah, and
so he played right into their hands too. Then
no, he did. That
and
was not
the way you're describing it.
That was not because
this is unnecessary. What he was doing
because the best he was going to do was like get a second off the clock, maybe because he was already out of bounds when he would have touched it. Right, like he would not have been able to steal that ball. You know, it's unfortunate. And then credit to the dude, bro. I mean, Chandler did contest it as well as you could possibly do.
No, I knew he got up there.
Yeah. But, I mean, this Memphis team was not that good. It was just not that good. I mean, the guys on the floor were DeAndre, Elijah McCadden,
Kendrick,
Chandler Lawson, and Demaria Franklin.
Oh, wow.
It was.
And I remember Jaden was in that game. He played.
Yeah.
Remember, he's the one guy on the floor for the turnover.
They
didn't give you the timeout. They called it a jump ball.
A-Lo had to have fouled out because what on earth would he not be on the court for in that situation, right?
Can't remember if he fouled out or not, but
he didn't.
Yeah,
he didn't have any fouls in this game. Why was McCadden in there over A-Lo? I mean, he was your best defender. I don't know. Maybe you were just saying the size. I have no clue. But that's one that's just we're talking about it 2 years later. I don't think we'll ever stop talking about it,
dude. I had forgotten Demaria Franklin's name.
Yeah, Demaria Franklin, dude.
Wow.
Played 20 minutes in that game, 3 points. Had 3 points.
Those were tough times. It almost got to a Sweet 16.
Crazy. I mean, Kendrick didn't have a good game. 16 points on 5-15 shooting.
How many turnovers?
Just two. I mean, but
that's what I'm saying. It's so uncharacteristic what he did that pass toward the end of that game.
Yeah. And nobody really played that well for FAU either. I mean, Elijah Martin was 3 of 13. Jonell Davis was 4 of 12. Vlad Golden only had 6 points.
You played good defense, what it sounds like.
It's actually insane how good that FAU team was. Jonell Davis ended up being a Sweet 16 with Arkansas.
Yeah.
Elijah Martin won a freaking championship with Florida.
Golden went to Michigan.
Vlad Golden went to a Sweet 16 with Michigan. It's just sickening.
Loaded.
It's just sickening how
what they all got out of it.
Yeah, like I mean,
Dusty we were May. There,
Dusty
bro.
May
we
got Michigan.
There. I mean,
Dusty, well, yeah, I mean,
let's be real.
You ran into
he did more, but he got Michigan off that run.
Off
you
off.
You ran into like a literal generational team at FAU. How does that happen?
The same way we ran into Rick Majerus that year, yeah. a Hall of Fame coach, and he's going against Josh Pastner, even though you got the better players.
Crazy.
I mean, we always catch that kind of break, man.
Crazy, dude. Yeah. You're exactly right. I mean, even Colorado State should have beaten Maryland. They should have been a Sweet 16 team. I mean, if not for Derek Queen hitting an unbelievable shot.
Turns out that matchup was tough. It was. Colorado State was good.
Yep.
Yeah, like to your point.
Jason, was the SLU game an 8-9 game
yeah.
for us?
Yes.
We always got that daggum game.
Mm-hmm. And then when they were a 6 seed, their 3 was Michigan State in Auburn Hills.
In Michigan, in Detroit.
I mean, snake bitten.
It was totally a Michigan State crowd, and you had no chance.
The next time that
Memphis, that one was a slaughterhouse. You tried like a boxing, a triangle and two or something, got you where in the second half you thought maybe you had it. They killed you with Nix and the other big dude we talked about, Payne. Nix and Payne.
The next time that the committee
DJ
does
was playing
Memphis
center,
favor,
I mean, come on.
Yeah, you're exactly. What was it? Tark was out of the game because he couldn't.
I remember by that point, DJ Steffens was your rim protector, and he's going against big, he's going against real bigs. And,
yep.
Adrian Payne and I think it's Derek Nix
yes.
were the two bigs they had.
Yeah, the guard they had, Kwame Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
Remember him?
Yep.
What was
him.
2012, it was 61-54 final.
See, they tightened it. It was not that close, though. I remember.
Right.
Because Aki was taking credit for this triangle that helped
right.
him in the second half.
Yeah, Tark only played 19 minutes. Tark only played 19 minutes in this game.
He wasn't that Kansas Tark at Memphis.
No. No, he was not.
The Kansas Tark that looked, much more the part.
DJ played 2 minutes. Wesley played 27.
DJ only played two?
Yeah.
Man, that was way off on it. He was your only guy.
Wesley only played two minutes that they were trying out there then?
Dude, I guess.
Because he had he was 3 of 7 from the floor. Yeah.
I remember writing pretty early in that game of things Tigers are going to have to start looking, to try to fix this next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you had Kwame Mitchell, Brian Conklin. Had 10 of 11 from the free throw line. So but again, that makes absolutely. I mean, I don't recognize anybody on this team. Like none of these guys were pros. None of these guys were, but they just had Memphis's number in this one, bro. Josh got taken to the woodshed by Majerus, and that was a tough one. That was a tough one for sure. All right, we'll come back. Parthu Padjai is going to join us. We'll talk to him about the latest with Memphis' roster, his thoughts on the signees, P.J. Haggerty situation, all that and more. Stick around. Jason and John, 90.9 FM. Yes, Parthu Padjai covers the Memphis basketball program for the Daily Memphian, joins every Friday, and he joins us now. All right, Parth, is P.J. Haggerty coming back or not?
I think I lost.
Much like Penny and PJ.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. We might be headed to the same town, but I heard the front part of your question, which was, is PJ Haggerty coming back to Memphis? I think not. Sure sounds like he is going to be a member of the NC State Wolfpack. Nothing finalized yet, but things have been trending in that direction for at least the past 24-ish hours or so.
Yeah, that certainly is the way it seems to be trending. How did this all kind of take, go down? It seems like from my understanding, Memphis kind of told PJ what it was willing to do, and from there he just kind of shopped around. Is that kind of your understanding of how this recruitment has taken place?
Yeah, so kind of early in the offseason, if not even before the offseason kind of officially began, Memphis told PJ what it was willing to do, like you said, the number it was willing to give him. And from my understanding, it sounded like PJ Haggerty and his camp were fine with that. Like, all parties were down with that. PJ wanted to come back. It was a respectable offer. As you've reported, I've reported, others have reported. And Memphis was confident that, PJ Haggerty would be back in a Tigers uniform. Then something suddenly kind of changed, right? Like, early April, mid-April, to where, I don't know if it was just his father, Patrick, or others, or whoever, but, his camp essentially felt that they could get more elsewhere, right? Or at least they wanted to see who would be willing to come closest to their $4 million asking price. obviously we know Memphis was, you know, in the neighborhood of 3.1. They didn't feel that was enough. They entered the portal, and Memphis kind of stayed firm in that offer. Memphis never, you know, jumped the gun or crossed the line that they had drawn in the sand by saying, hey, we're going to meet him at, you know, 3.8, 3.9. And it sounds like PJ Harvey and his camp never came back, if that makes sense, and tried to renegotiate that number. So both parties stayed firm. PJ Haggerty and Penny maintained a good relationship and talked throughout the process, but you kind of got the sense that if it was going to be more than 3.1, 3.2, 3.3 that PJ Haggerty was commanding, it sure as hell wasn't going to be at Memphis.
What do you make of, and I saw where Memphis yesterday, I think it was, that they announced that they've, you know, officially brought in Sincere Parker. You know, Doug as well, the trend. What do you make of what Penny has done seemingly to be prepared or just go ahead and get ready to replace PJ Haggerty right now? What do you think of what he's brought in?
Yeah, I think we kind of mentioned this last week when I was on y'all's show, but given the fact, given all the factors that have occurred this offseason, right, whether it be, you know, we've talked about everybody else catching up in terms of the college basketball landscape with NIL. We've talked about, you know, Memphis feeling very, very, very confident, according to people I'd spoken to early in the offseason, about PJ Haggerty coming back and them building a roster, at least at first, with the idea that he would be that centerpiece, right? Like, you're finding players that can maximize PJ Haggerty, that PJ can maximize in return. Now, all of a sudden, when things drastically change and PJ Haggerty enters the portal and you quickly get the sense that, hey, you know, if you're Memphis, you get the sense that, hey, we don't have a good sudden. To go from that and to very quickly, you know, sign, seal, deliver on, you know, guys like Sincere Haggerty and Doug McDaniel, Aaron Bradshaw, I think that's pretty good, given all the factors. Now, is it as talented of a transfer portal class as the one that Memphis brought in last year? No, I don't think it's particularly close, right? Like, if you look at transfer portal rankings, other sites and sites that kind of weigh these things, Memphis was top 15, I believe, across the board, whether it's 247 Sports, On3, whatever, last year. This year, they're in the 40s, right? I think 247 Sports has them as 40th with that seven-player transfer portal class. So it is talented. We talked about this last week. It's talented enough to, I think, as a roster to win the AAC, certainly, but
right.
You know, as we know, the goals at Memphis are larger than that.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because there was all this talk about Memphis and NIL, the NIL does have, doesn't have. But, you know, it does feel like Memphis has the NIL when they need to have it because they're willing to pay PJ Haggerty $3 million. They're willing to pay Dane. And then they still have the regular NIL funds. So, like, is it possible that we overblew this NIL discussion? Especially if they were willing to go to these lengths for, and they're not going to be able to do that for every player, and I get that, but the ones that they really want to try to keep, they could still get to that number.
No, you know, I think so, and I thought about this other day, like, you know, as you reported in your column about the money for Haggerty, PJ Haggerty and Dane Danger coming from outside sources, so to speak, right, not coming from that main bucket that is going to be used and is used to build this roster. I think just the fact that Memphis has access to those kind of people who are passionate and have the funds and, like you said, for the right guys, for the guys that they know what they're getting in return, are willing to write those sort of checks and make those things happen, I think, yeah, maybe we did overblow, you know, the initial discussion that we were having this offseason as a kind of media contingent in this city about, you know, what Memphis had or did not have at NIL. But I think that still is an issue, right? In terms of, like, for certain guys, yes, they can get it done. For guys that, you know, are beloved, like the PJ Haggertys and Dane Danges and guys that people with that kind of power and money want back. But it's not like their main pool is in that top 15, top 20, if that makes sense. Whereas last year, across the board, they were among the elite, if that sort of makes sense.
we've talked to you about how unlikely it seemed at one point that Dane Danger is going to be able to get this waiver because we discussed some of the facts of his case with you. Has that changed at all, Parth? Is it still unlikely? Is Memphis feeling better about its chances? I ask you to get where you're at because I had my partner here earlier this week on a door that I had closed. He said, "Well, maybe we need to keep it a little bit of a jar. Keep it a little ajar." You know, so where are we now on whether or not Dane Danger could actually appear in a Tigers uniform next season?
Yeah, I still think it's tough. And John, I heard you talk about kind of different things that Memphis can do and different actions it can take, especially with the NCAA, you know, being in a different place now, right, than it was back in 2023 when Memphis went through this with the DeAndre Williams stuff. It feels like the NCAA is folding left and right. You know, as soon as somebody threatens to take it to court or actually does take it to court, a lot of the times we've seen that break not in the NCAA's favor. So it's hard to know. I still think at surface level the case is a tough one, just from the details of the case and everything that they're trying to claim there. I think that's tough. But I also think that the NCAA has shown that it is, more vulnerable now than it has been probably ever before when it comes to these type of things.
Yeah, I mean, yes, it is. But there's a lot of programs that are in that boat, too. You know, the elite are going to be – but again, I think Memphis has shown that it could still be there when it wants to be there. Like Memphis – we can say that Memphis has a budget of XYZ, but they could still, you know, do what they need to do when they need to do it. Doesn't mean the political will is always going to be there. But yeah, I think the biggest question about this roster is, like, who is going to be, you know, number one? You know, let's just presume Dane is not going to be here. Maybe that's a dumb presumption, but – is it obvious to you that it is a guy like Doug McDaniel who has been a leading scorer before but not on a winning team? Like, how do you sort of square all that?
Yeah, I think it's pretty clear. And we wrote about this in the Tigers talk that we published, I think, earlier this week it was. Whereas, you know, all these pieces were coming in through the early part of the offseason. They were all kind of not similar players in terms of skill set, right? But similar players in terms of role and caliber and what they had produced at their previous stops. But then you get a guy like Sincere Parker, right? And then you get a guy like Doug McDaniel. These are guys that at some point in their career, not last year for either of them, but at some point in their career, they have proven to be guys who have scored, over 15 points a game. In Doug McDaniel's case, he's been a great facilitator at the Power 5 level all 3 years, even though his scoring went down last year. And he has been a good three-point shooter as well. So I think it's either Doug McDaniel or Sincere Parker, right, who are in the running for that alpha role on this team. But I think with Doug just being the point guard and kind of being the lead guard in that system, it just goes to him by default. And, you know, you couple that with what he produced at Michigan, obviously not on a winning team, a team with a lot of stuff going on. I think that was the year that Doug was, suspended for some academic stuff. He couldn't play road games. Juwan Howard was fighting assistants. Like, they had a lot going on in Ann Arbor that year. But I think for him to do that in the Big Ten, in a legit conference, shoot the ball as well as he did and facilitate as well as he had has all 3 years, I think that's a good sign for what he can accomplish, especially in the AAC, you know, under Penny Hardaway.
And then, I mean, and technically you've still got a backup point guard in Dante Harris on the roster to where even if you,
correct,
you know, PJ came back to you saying, yeah, I'll do it for this amount of money, but I still want 70% of the time on the ball. I mean, based on who you've brought in, even though obviously the guy had a second-team AP All-American season, you know, it just you talk about a log jam at one position. Now, Dante, okay, well, now you're not playing anymore. It's as simple as that. But I'm just saying with what you've gone out and got, and what Doug McDaniel can do, I can't see a world where PJ is still, you know, at point guard 70% of the time, and it's a good thing after he had 100 turnovers last year.
No, exactly. And I think even if PJ had come back, even if this thing, you know, and obviously it's not over yet. It's not over until it's over, as we know in recruiting, especially in 2025, but it certainly seems to be trending in the direction of being over for Memphis. Yeah. But what I'm trying to say is if this was going in a different way, and if it looked like P.J. Haggerty was going to indeed be back in a Tigers uniform, I think that 70% thing, he would have to come, you know, come off on that significantly,
oh, yeah.
right?
Oh, yeah.
Just because of what you mentioned. Doug McDaniel is, what, 5'11"?
Yep.
You know, he didn't come here to play the two-guard position.
Right.
That's not, he's excelled with the ball in his hands as the facilitator, as the floor general.
Yep.
And Peter Haggerty's excels with the ball, you know, in his hands sometimes, right? In that shooting guard role, that's where he was named consensus All-American, not as a lead guard by any means. So I think if that had happened, for sure, you know, he would have had to come off of that 70%. But, you know, I think even, let's keep it real, even as talented as the group may be with Sincere Parker and Doug McDaniel, that backcourt, like, you'd still rather have PJ Haggerty. Is that fair to say? Like, I've seen people talk about, oh, you know, Tiger fans say, oh, we moved on and, you know, Sincere's our guy. Like, you'd rather have a consensus All-American back in the fold.
I mean, I would.
Yes. But. Yes. Could I make a case where it can still go pretty good, and especially if Dane Danger's in it? Absolutely. But I think, yes, I think that general logic tells you. And because you know him and he knows you, and you know what I'm saying? I mean, everything, all that happened last year, you got the trust level. Of course. I'm in agreement with you there.
Yeah. No, I, but
if
but,
you could.
But it doesn't really feel like that. What do you think of, like, the fit at NC State? Like, I mean, that's your alma mater, obviously.
Yeah, wait, so it's called alma mater even if you attended 2 years, right? You don't have to have a degree.
It's the school you're proudest of for you, the one that you're most proud of.
That's funny. Yeah, so, I mean, obviously I've said it on this show and people know, but I started my college journey at NC State, went there 2 years, and went to North Carolina to finish off my undergraduate stuff. But, yeah, I think the fit is great, honestly. They got Jerry Dang, right, recently from Florida State to play on the wing. They're in the mix for the Texas Tech transfer. I'm blanking on dude's name. He's going through the draft process as well. But it's another guard. But they've assembled a talented roster, is my point, with the guys that Will Wade's landed in the portal, plus the ones he's brought over from McNeese. It seems like they're kind of that one piece away, right? That one star, that one 1A guy away from being a dark horse contender in the ACC under Will Wade. So I think, you know, PJ Haggerty fits great there. The only thing that kind of would concern me is they have a point guard, right? They brought in Trey Holloman from Michigan State, who is more of a true point guard certainly than PJ Haggerty was last season, and he led Michigan State to an Elite Eight. Now, is that guy going to be okay with, you know, playing significant time off the ball, right? Like, is that 70% that we talked about, is that still in play in Raleigh? I don't know. I just don't see PJ Haggerty having the ball as much as reportedly him and his camp wants for him to have it, with a backcourt that includes Trey Holloman at NC State.
Real quick, and Parth, I'm having a hard enough time just keeping up with the guys that, you know, Penny's looking at, whatever else, and figuring out the rest of this roster. So I'm leaning on you guys, and I have little to no, I haven't looked at all to see. I'm asking, has anybody else in the AAC, whether it's Andy or Ron or John, chime in if you've seen, has South Florida, has anybody done anything in terms of transfer portal that's impressed y'all? I mean, looking at the rest, of course, we're going to expect Memphis to win, be number one, but has anybody done anything to in a league we said's got to get better that's impressed y'all, or do I need to look out for me?
That, you know? The only one that I would say, Parth, that I would consider would be South Florida, right? I think everybody else has kind of been embarrassing, as usual.
Ron's just lost guys, right? He hadn't brought anybody in.
I think Tulane's retention, player retention's been impressive. They got Rowan Brumbaugh to come back, along with, what, a couple other guys?
Okay.
Like,
okay.
Impressive is relative.
I mean, South Florida got, they brought Pinion over from Arkansas State, who was a good player. And they added a guy that was a 4-star in the portal, and Damian Collins from LSU. That's really all they've done. I mean, for them, I mean, this kid was a 5-star coming out at a high school.
For them, yeah, that's pretty good.
You know, so I would say South. Everybody else just totally embarrassing, though. I mean, yeah, Brumbaugh, you retain Brumbaugh. I mean,
yeah, but, I didn't realize he kid. That's the white kid, right?
It is. Although we don't really, kid, yeah. I don't like to talk about race.
Well, he's.
You know,
he's a player,
but man, his market must have been absolutely non-existent if he's back at Tulane.
Like, was he not at Georgetown before?
Yes,
he was trying to be the next.
Yes.
Yeah.
next Mac McClung.
Yes, they would. That's what they had sold him, bro. That's exactly what they had sold. That I thought about it during the game when they said Georgetown.
But why would you want to be the next Mac McClung when you could be the first Rowan Brumbaugh at Tulane?
Rather be the next Mac McClung. He's a three-time dunk champion, ain't he?
Yeah, man. It's all bad in the American.
Yeah, I was just looking for a little hope. That's all, guys. But hey, it sounds like there's not much.
I will say, though, it's a dark day in hell when the ACC is saying our league is so bad we need to play fewer games. How far your conference has fallen.
You know,
oh, we're coming to join that thing in 2030.
It's sad, man. It's sad. I grew up, you know, with that as the superior conference, right? Like, I grew up watching Tyler Hansbrough at North Carolina and John Shire and Nolan Smith, you know, current Memphis assistant at Duke. You know, heck, even NC State had a couple good years with T.J. Warren and Cat Barber. Like, that conference is not
on the
king of the college basketball hill anymore.
We're going to come in there in 2030, Blue Blood, and we're going to help you out. We're going to strengthen that thing up. We'll be there in 2030 when these contracts are up.
Exactly.
See you in the ACC, Parth.
Yep. Have it ready
for
us.
All right.
I'll be waiting.
Thanks, Parth. Appreciate
Thank you,
man.
Hey, thanks,
Alex. Yep. He is Parth Apadjai. Covers the Tigers for the Daily Memphian. Joins us every single Friday here on the show. Hey, get to Sonic. It's the weekend. Kick it off with you know, some premium chicken bites. I call it popcorn chicken. It's not called that anymore up there, but that's what I call it. It's what I'll always know it as. Get that Route 44 Diet Coke. Mm-mm. It just really hits the spot, man. I know it's a little rainy outside. You know, brighten your day with America's Drive-In at Sonic.
Yeah, nobody cares. It's raining outside when you can get to Sonic. Try that Fun 99 menu. That's where I live. The junior chicken sandwiches have been added to that menu, and you can do those in Chipotle or original. Got a bunch of other great stuff on the Fun 99 menu. Queso wrap, Southwest, and Bacon Ranch. Just make it five or six of them. Why not? Load up and try their fantastic smash burger as well. And you got to wash it all down with a strawberry mangonada slush made with sweet strawberry and mango slush sprinkled with tahini for that tangy twist. Whatever it is at Sonic, live free, eat Sonic.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Robert Irwin Jewelers. I'm going to look at the camera when I say this, man. It's the best. It's the best. I feel like that dude at in the early YouTube days. Remember him? And he was like, give me a chicken sandwich.
Yeah, I do.
Unforgivable. And it's unforgivable if you don't go to Robert Irwin Jewelers to buy your engagement ring, because that's where you're going to get the most choices, the best and the brightest and the biggest diamonds. And it's the only place where you're going to be able to buy from Howie, right? He's the best. Go see for yourself. Get that 365-day guarantee that if anything goes wrong, you can bring it back. Only Robert Irwin Jewelers.
I would also look into the lab-grown diamonds. Seems like a smart thing to do. And in a lot of cases, you're going to get more shine for your buck. So Howie's going to take you through all the options. But no, as John said, there are many. He's got many options to pay. You can ask her now, pay later with financing like 24 months deferred interest, or you can take up to 60 months to pay at a low APR. Howie is not going to have you coming out of there sick because you feel like you spent too much on the engagement ring. It's going to work for your budget, and it's going to get the yes you need. You're going to come out of there smiling.
You're going to want to go back. He's going to be your jeweler for life. He's been doing this 40-plus years. He knows what he's doing. 5 locations, 3 here locally, Perkins Extended, and East Memphis, Bartlett Town Center, South Lake Center, and South Haven. 2 locations in the Little Rock area. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices, always at RIJ. Online at rijewelers.com.
All right, so we have three games over the weekend, one tonight, one tomorrow, and then one on Sunday. So in terms of the NBA playoffs, so it is not going to be exactly busy tonight, but you know we are fading Brad. So
yeah, and I can tell you got your finger on the Rockets +5.5 trigger. The only question is whether you pull.
That's right.
It's on the trigger. I can watch him now and get a sense when he's diving in. And
I can sort of too. I kind of feel those vibes.
Mm-hmm. I just think,
and he'll start talking us into it. But he's really talking himself into it.
And then he'll tell us if you're dug in on your pick, he'll like demean you even before.
Only if it's wrong. Only if it's wrong. Like, if it's what his side.
No, but you got to understand, Jason. Is like the Warriors, you know, there's this XYZ and CY, it's like, you know, and he talks it into the bet.
Yeah, no, I've never,
on your process.
I've never lost a bet in my entire life. So, I mean, I'm just trying to help you guys, right?
That's all I see is winners.
That's all you see. You're not going to see the losers.
You never send me losers.
Nobody wants to see losers.
It's pretty cool you're making money on gambling, though, John. I'm proud of you.
It's stressful. It ain't fun.
Wait a minute. What do you mean it's not fun?
It's not the process is very taxing.
Then why are we doing it?
Because we are winning, but you know,
you're making a ton of money on gambling on sports?
I mean, I don't know how you
could make a living on it?
If I devoted my entire day and life to it.
Well, then what would change?
What do you
I'm
mean?
Just kidding. I'm giving you the business.
No, like, I mean, if oh, I see. What
you're yeah, it was actually a slick good one.
Yeah, that's
from
pretty
Brad
good.
Right
that's
there.
Good.
Right.
But no, like, if I literally, like, was, you know, if I said I'm walking away from radio.
Sure, right. You're not going to do this gig.
I'm not going to do a 3-hour radio show.
What was our guy? Uncle whatever?
That's
him, right? Remember we used to bring him on?
Yeah.
Wouldn't Uncle something? You had the flashy shirts and he was our gambling.
Oh, Uncle Phil.
Yes.
Uncle yeah.
Phil. He's
to be that life, to fully pull away, you would have to.
There was a guy that used to do, Brad, BetMGM Network. His name was Ken Barkley.
Oh, yeah.
And he
quit his gig to do that, didn't he?
He quit doing media to pursue gambling and professional betting.
How's it turned out? Is he still living?
Yes, he is. It's really not. It's honestly like you can do that if you have capital. It's very doable to live,
but still stressful though.
But very stressful, and you know the other
process.
The other part of it is like when you get limited from these sports books because inevitably that will take place.
I see. That's a big.
They figure out you're a pro. They're not messing with you. They're going to limit you.
Exactly.
And then it gets even harder.
And the ones that don't limit you are harder to beat.
So then, what do? Go offshore for your big stuff?
I don't know.
You big ballers? Yes, you do. What do you do?
Well, and that's, you know, the offshores are sharp too now, though. I mean, because the ones that are taking $100,000 a pop on an NBA game are not going to be stupid. I mean,
right. So,
you know, that's a whole separate conversation.
That's wild,
but
man.
It makes it, that's why I don't want to do it professionally.
Yeah.
I want to do it semi-professionally, not depend on it for income, right? But when it happens, we get to go to Disney World.
That's fun.
But if it doesn't happen, I'm going to go to work the next day. And I'm going to be able to get income that way, you know. So
sounds like the only way it's fun is when we're using it for Disney.
Correct. Yeah. It's
and that's only a small amount of fun for you.
That's right. That's exactly right. No, it's Disney money, no more, no less. That's going to do it for us today. Thanks to Partha Padhyay for joining us on the show today. Thanks to Anthony Sane as well. Jeffrey and Company, they're up next. Don't miss it. For Jason and Jason, I'm John. We're gone.